the overall main point right from the beginning. So that way, you can write it down, and you don't have to listen for the rest of the sermon if you don't want to. Then I'm going to try and back it up, what I'm actually saying. Because what we're going to be talking about today is sadness. Are you ready for this? This is my main point. And I think this is huge. Sadness is not a sin. Sadness is not a sin. Church has a hard time with sadness because we love happy clappy, we love joy. You know, last week, Pastor Larry talking about joy. We're good with joy, right? We love joy. You come in, band's playing, everyone's happy. The problem is, as Pastor Larry even talked about, you get in here and maybe you're not very joy-filled. Maybe you have some sadness. Sadness is not a sin. Maybe something happened to you this past week. Maybe something happened to you this past month. Maybe things have been happening to you your entire life. And you just don't feel really connected to the church because the church seems to be filled with a lot of smiling, happy people, and you are sitting there dying inside. So maybe you put on a nice little brave face and you smile a little bit, trying just to fit in because you're worried if someone comes up to you and says, well, how are you doing? You might just burst into tears because everything is going wrong. Because deep down, you think to yourself, I should be happy, but I'm not. So something is wrong. Sadness is wrong. I shouldn't be sad, and if I am sad, maybe I'm sinning. Sadness is not a sin. One of the things we learn that is so amazing when we come to things like emotions and some of these psalms is we find out that we are, in fact, made in the image of God. God created you with emotions. Yes, even you of the male persuasion who stand there stoically saying, I will never cry, I will never cry, I will never cry. And your eyes might get a little moist and you're like, I just got something caught in my throat. Yes, God even created you men with emotions. We may not show it, we may not talk about it, but today we will, because God created you with emotions, which is also supposed to be helpful for us guys as we look at females. They are going to get emotional. Why? Because they were created with emotions. Now, the sinning comes when we have an improper understanding of emotions and we deal with people improperly when they're going through emotions. For instance, if you are sad, let's say you have a friend who is sad, what is your number one job? Make them happy, right? It's almost, oh, you're sad? Oh, well, let me try and cheer you up and maybe make a joke and, you know, that's all great. You know, we experienced this a lot as we dropped Jacob off at college and everyone came up to Heather and they would say things like, you're going to see him twice a month or twice a week and you're going to see him on Sundays and he's 20 minutes down the road and then she would then cry. And it's like, well, why are you doing, because they would all do this, like, you, why are you sad? You should be happy. But the problem is, as we know with emotions are sometimes uncontrollable. And we often try to make sad people happy, but sometimes that's not what sad people need. We think that we've got to try to make you unsad because there's something wrong with people who are sad, because deep down we actually think that sadness is a sin. But I'm here to tell you today, sadness is not a sin. Emotions are okay, and sometimes we have to deal with sad things in our life. The book of Psalms goes through tons of emotions. You know that a lot of them are filled with joy, as Pastor Larry shared last week, and you can go through and you hear all these things, praise the Lord, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise him with resounding gongs, praise him with clanging cymbals, lots of praise, joy, happy, yay, this is good. Do you know, I didn't realize this until I started studying it this week, that more psalms are laments, sad psalms, that's the number one category of psalms. I didn't realize that. And then I was like, you know, you read something, you're like, that's probably wrong. Someone just made it up. So I started researching, and sure enough, I'm like, holy cow, there is a lot of sad stuff in here. And you start asking the question, why? why are these psalms in there? Why is there a voice for people who are sad? It's because God created you with emotions. Sadness is not a sin. So we're going to go through Psalm 88. As we go through, I'm going to be pointing out what I found very fascinating. Couple of things. You're going to find out that sadness is caused by a variety of different things. I mean, you probably could have figured that out on your own, right? Are you sad because your dog died? Well, that's a type of sadness. Are you sad because you got fired from a job? Are you sad because the person who thought was your best friend is now spreading rumors about you? Are you sad because you send a kid off to college? Are you sad because you're in college and your parents are leaving? Are you sad because your favorite restaurant closes down? There's lots of types of sadness with various causes. As we go through these, I'm going to be asking the question, what's the cause? Because what's the cause then leads us to answer, how do we cure it? What's the cure? Find the cause, you'll find the cure. The problem is we often try and lump every sad person all into one giant category, and let's just make them laugh and somehow we've cured it, and that's not going to do anything for that, right? It's going to do nothing. When I was in the car accident years ago, it was very interesting because I was sad a lot while I was hooked up to machines, and my sadness came mainly from pain. I was in physical pain all the time. And it was because they cut open my stomach muscles, and it was very hard to breathe, and they're always trying to make me cough, and I hated nurses, and I always asked for pain shots. And then I would cry a lot because I was in a lot of physical pain. And then my friends would come, and they're like, oh, hey, and, you know, I'm looking like a train wreck. And so what would they do? They would start telling me jokes. Do you want to know how painful it is to have stomach surgery and then have people tell jokes? Like, I would start laughing, and then I'd start crying, and then I would scream at them, get out of my room! And they're like, what? I just wanted to make you. I'm like, shut up, leave. And people would run out crying, and I'm crying. And it was just, soon people just came in and just stood there. Because they needed to figure out that there's a cause, and with the cause then comes the cure. The cure for all sadness is not joy. There's different cures for different types of sadness. So as we go through Psalm 88, which also, another interesting thing about Psalm 88, is that it is the only lament psalm that does not end happy. If you read through a lot of the lament psalms, like, Lord, I'm crying, my tears have become my pillow, I am sad all day long, I hurt and I'm in pain, but I come to you and I give you thanks for all the joy that you've given to me. And you read that and you're like, oh, wow, that went from like really super sad to some resolution that then brought the joy. But how many times have you gone through something sad, received something that should have given you joy, but you didn't get joy from it and you just got more sad? That's Psalm 88. It is the most depressing psalm in all of Scripture. Might be the most depressing section in all of Scripture because it doesn't end happy. And we're going to find out why. Let's see if we could figure out some of the causes as we go through this and see what it means. So you got the heading. It's a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah for the director of music according to the Mahalath Lenoth. It's a maskil of Heman the Ezrahite. I feel bad for poor He-Man and his counterpart She-Ra. Come on, Rich. That was funny. Was that Ray, did you get that? Okay, thank you. Everyone who is young is like, who is He-Man? Just Google it. You'll be fine. This is what he says. Verse 1, O Lord, the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of trouble as and my life draws near the grave. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like a man without strength. I'm set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. This particular person, I don't know what exactly was going on in his life, but one thing that he was really struggling with was the fear of the unknown. Because it is true, how many people here have died? No one. And does it sometimes concern you? Like, what is actually going to happen? At the moment of death's door, what will it be like? We don't know, because no one's ever gone through it and then come back and told us this is how it is. And there's a great fear, and with that comes a great sadness, because in that, we just don't know what's going to happen. And this is the cause of a lot of people's sadness. This is the fear of the unknown. The fear of, I just got fired from my job. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just got transferred to another company. I don't know how this is going to happen. My law firm just split up. What am I going to do? Jody. I'm sending a kid off to college. What is life going to be like with that? I have someone getting married, and all of a sudden, yeah, Paul's like, yeah, you're such a good man. Lots of joy in this family. Someone's getting married, and it's like, well, what is it going to be like getting married? And I'm really kind of concerned, and I'm not too sure, and so I have sadness because I don't know what is going to happen. If you have sadness caused from the fear of the unknown because you're not too sure what's going to happen, then there is a cure. There's a cure for that type of sadness. A cure for that cause. What would that cure be? You could probably think of it yourself. It's not. This is the strange part. This is not enumerated in Psalm 88. This is something we have to export in because Psalm 88 is just simply this guy's heart bleeding out all over the place. And then you see it, and this is what often happens to us, is we get overwhelmed with all these different causes of sadness. So soon we just start going out, and we got to start looking, saying, well, what's the cause? Then we can find the cure. So if the cause of the sadness is the fear of the unknown and the fear of the future, what is the cure? That's not a rhetorical question. You can answer that. Throw some stuff out. Again, you're probably not going to be wrong. Well, you know, maybe. Rich? Don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow has enough worries on its own. Exactly. There's good. What else would you say? Yeah. Set your mind on things above. Yeah. Well, someone else said trust. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things give prayer and praise to God. Do you see how new this? Go ahead. God has a plan. Matthew 28. And surely I will be with you always. In the Old Testament, though you pass through the waters, though you pass through the grave, I will be with you. Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I had a good theological training? Because I went to church all the time? Because I read my Bible every day? No, because you are with me. If you are worried and you have fear and you are crying and you have sadness because of the fear of the unknown, the cure for that is learning and developing trust. And then we start seeing something really important. If you did not go through that type of sadness, how strong will you be in trusting God? You're going to see this with every single type of these things. God created you with emotions. The emotions have the purpose. They're there to drive you to something and help you learn something, which is why when we just try to cheer people up because they're sad, it short circuits their faith development. If the cause of your sadness is fear of the unknown, then maybe we start learning a little bit more trust. Maybe we need to start saying, I'm not in control of my life, but God is. Things might be spinning out of control at work, but that's okay because God is with me. My aunt is dying of cancer, and it doesn't look like she is getting any better at all. And I don't know what I'm going to do because my aunt is everything, and the fear of the unknown, if she's gone, I don't know what that's going to mean for me. You start learning, I can trust in God because God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a purpose for every bad thing that happens in your life. I know we love talking about God's purpose when it's good, like, oh, hey, I got a new job. Well, this is great. God had a plan for me. But we don't normally talk about it when we get fired. Hey, I got fired. Praise the Lord. Ooh. Well, there might be some jobs, but usually we only get that after a 2020 vision, right? It's only after we go a little bit. Have you ever done that? You're dating someone, and you're like, this is it. This is the person. I'm going to marry them. This is the greatest thing in all my life. And then all of a sudden they dump you, and you're like, oh, I'm so sad. There's a fear of the unknown. What am I going to do? Because this person's gone from my life. Usually then I just say, well, just hold on a second. Do you think God is, like, freaked out? Oh, my gosh, how did that happen? Why did that person dump you? I better get working on this. No, God had, and then usually I talk to people like way back and they go, yeah, you know what? I was dating this person and then they dumped me and it was one of the hardest things in my life, but then I found the love of my life and now I'm happy as can be. Same thing with jobs. I was fired. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was freaking out, the fear of the unknown. This is going to be crazy. This is going to be really super hard for me. And then all of a sudden another job comes along and you go, oh, I didn't see that job. Yeah, because God has some great things in store. But going through that is what challenges our faith. helps us to grow. So if the cause of your sadness is fear of the unknown, well then, the cure for that is learning and developing trust. Is it pleasant? Is it joyful? No, often it isn't. It's painful and it hurts. But it's okay because, I don't know if you know this, sadness is not a sin. All right. Verse 6. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. This is when you have sadness over your sin. Do you realize that when you do something wrong and you commit a sin, you don't say the right thing or do the right thing, what is supposed to happen is you are supposed to actually feel sad about it. You're actually supposed to feel guilty. If you commit a sin and don't feel any guilt or sadness over it, we need to talk because that's not what God designed for you. Instead, when we sin and we look at it and maybe our sin affects other people around us, well then, it becomes something that's terrible. A man on the news is under arrest for killing his pregnant wife and his two young daughters. Do you see any sadness? None. I worry. Because when you do something wrong, you should be sad. And sometimes that happens, and that's why when we feel God's wrath upon us, we're like, God, I can't believe I did this. God, I totally messed up. I am so sorry. I hurt, and I look at the people around me, and I see that my choices that I made are now affecting people around me that I didn't intend for it to affect, but my stupidity did this. And you feel sad. Sometimes the cause of your sadness is your sin. So if you figure out the cause of the sadness, then you should be able to figure out the cure. What's the cure for the sadness? What was that? Yeah, that's one of them. Well, so yeah, that might be step 4 or 5, but yeah. So the first thing we do is we confess. We actually say something about it, right? There's, 1 John 1:8. For if you say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He'll forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we are sinning, the first thing we do is we go to, even though we feel like God is punishing us, like he is just, wave after wave is sweeping over us. We are down in the depth. We are in despair. We cannot get ourselves up because God is pushing us down. God has a purpose for that type of sadness. Purpose is to help us see the depth of our depravity, the depth of our sin, to develop this reliance upon him that he forgives freely and graciously. And then it also changes our lives because then we start treating people in that exact way. And then we realize just how much God loves us. You may be caught in sin and you might be maybe trying to get away from the sadness. I just tell you this, don't escape the sadness of your sin. In fact, I'd say embrace it. Let it drive you down. Because when you let it drive you down, you find yourself on your knees saying, Lord, I've messed up. And all of a sudden, things start changing in your heart. And things start changing because you start seeing how your sadness is caused by your sin. Sadness in and of itself is not a sin, but sadness can be caused by your sin. And when you find out the cause, you find out the cure. I've been forgiven. Look at the next one. Verse 8 only. I'm going to go 8 to 12. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I mean, I just hate reading this because do you capture what he's saying? I mean, have you ever cried so much at the loss of a friend that you can't even see straight anymore? Your eyes are puffy. And it's hard. And especially it's really hard for guys when all of a sudden we're like, what is this strange liquid coming from my eyeballs? And we're so overwhelmed because maybe we've lost one of our closest friends. And it's hard because guys don't often put that in words, but I remember when I lost one of my closest friends not that long ago. His name was Gary. He was sitting at the Hollywood Bowl enjoying some music, and he just dropped dead of a heart attack. He's my age. Gone. Get a phone call. I'm actually at a wedding at that time. Hey, Did you see on Facebook? Gary died. That's loss, isn't it? And then you cry. Or maybe your friends, maybe you've decided to live for God, and all of a sudden all your friends are like, you know what? I don't think I can be around you anymore. I really don't like you. You're out. Or maybe you start finding out that all your friends are gathering together, but they always exclude you. And all of your friends, and you're now repulsive. Are you getting the emotion of this? I don't want this to be some sort of clinical analyzation of emotions, because we've been here. We've done this. You've taken from me my closest friends. You made me repulsive. I'm confined, can't escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who dead rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness? Are your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? He's like saying, Lord, when I'm stuck in this place of despair, there's no way to praise you. Do you hear that again? Sadness has a purpose. It's not just as though we turn around and get joy-filled. It's almost like the joy is so robbed that we don't even know where to go. I am stuck in my grief. Who here, don't raise your hand, has been stuck in grief? We all have. We all have. We may not like it. We may try to minimize it. But God says there's a purpose. Do you realize that if you cry over the loss of a friend or a loss of a family member, do you want that's really actually saying? It is giving you an indication of the depth of relationship you had with them. My grandfathers died before I was born, or one died right after I was born. I did not cry over the death of my grandfather. I did not know him. But I cried over the death of my grandmother because I knew her and the depth of relationship I had with her. If you are mourning the loss of a friend, it's because that was a good relationship. And that tells you something, that sadness then is not a sin. Sadness is actually just an indicator of the depth of love you had for someone. And when you experience loss then, and you figure out that cause, then you can figure out the cure. What's the cure for sadness that's caused by loss? What was that? Yeah, time. This one's a tough one because it's really, really hard. Like, what do you do when you lose someone that's close to you, whether they die or whether they stab you in the back, or whether you're separated through miles of distance? Really, the cure for that is to celebrate the relationship. Thankfulness. Like, God, you know, I'm so glad that you gave me this person. I'm so glad that this person was in my life, and now there's a loss that I'm feeling, and I thank you that I feel this loss, because that means that I loved them and they loved me, and this is a wonderful thing. The cure for loss is thankfulness for the relationship. Keep going. But I cry to you, verse 13, O Lord, for help, O Lord, in the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? Sometimes we are sad because people reject us. Does anyone here like to be rejected? Oh, yes, Jody's like, yes, me. No one loves it, right? We're that scared teenager on the dancer, and there's the person on the other side of the gym, and the music's playing. You're like, I want to go and maybe ask that person to dance, but I'm really worried, and I won't do it. And why won't I do it? Because they're just going to laugh at me and reject me, and it'll be really sad, right? Sometimes the rejection is valid. Sometimes the rejection is stupid, and we need to learn this too, right? You watch The Bachelor. Does anyone still watch The Bachelor? Does anyone still actually physically? Do you, Tony? Did you raise your hand? Oh, my. Okay, let me explain. Yeah, go ahead.
I was really bored, and I thought
yeah, it is. Bachelor is an interesting show, because this is what I love. The first day is always the funnest. So you have these 25 people all vying for the attention. Let's say that it's a guy, and there's 25 girls, and they're all vying. And you have to whittle them down quickly. So the first night, it's like you're just going to dump half the girls right then and there. And so it's really funny, because you only have a little bit to go off of how to dump them. So, like, I'm sorry you haven't been selected. And it's so funny, because these girls will sometimes get really emotional about the rejection. They're like, he was the love of my life. And I'm like, you met him 5 minutes ago. Like, how is that even possible? Like, that's not the love. You have no idea. Now, it's okay to be sad because you're rejected. No one, this is the reason why Bachelor in real life doesn't even work. Who here would, we're going to get 25 girls to date Tony. Are y'all good with that? Yeah, and you wouldn't be either. Let me tell you, it's bad news. Yeah, just one's enough. Just one's good. Let me tell you. Because it's not real life. But there it works. Why? Because then this competitive comes out, and then I want him to choose me, and we want to be chosen. We hate to be rejected. So sometimes it's because of rejection. Maybe it's because someone came to us. Maybe our spouse came to us and served us with divorce papers. Is that a rejection? Maybe it's a father looking at his son and says, I don't know you. You're not my kid anymore. You're gone. That's a rejection. Maybe it's a long-term relationship breaking up. There's lots of things. And we got to understand that rejection is painful. And so what's if the cause of the sadness is rejection, what's the cure? I know, it's always tough. You got to think about it. Like, huh, this is tough. Think about it. It has something to do with God, just to let you know. Yeah, Austin. Jesus, yeah. Jesus is always the right answer. If you ever need a good answer, Jesus is good. Yeah, sometimes we need to learn what it means to have time to build a relationship. Yeah. Also, what will Jesus never do? Jesus will never reject you, ever. I mean, it's the most sure thing you have in your entire life. Jesus will never reject you, ever. But what if I sin? He still loves you. But what if I walk away? He still loves you. But what if I spend all my money on loose women and wild living? He's the prodigal father that's standing there waiting, looking, saying, please come back. I'm hurt. I just want you back. I'm not going to reject you. You come back to me. I'm not going to sit there and slap you around and say, well, you did this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. You know what? No, I love you and I want you back. The cure for rejection is to realize that sometimes people, you will be rejected in this lifetime. It happens. But God will never reject you. Verse 15. Through the end, the last one. From my youth, I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me all day. And it's really interesting. I love this. Verse 16 and 17 is these two different metaphors that he says, your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. The language that's being used is that of a fire. Do we know anything about fires here in Southern California? Do they sweep through? Can you stop it? And that's what he's saying. Lord, I am overwhelmed right now. I don't know what to do because all of this stuff is, and it's sweeping through my life. And now I'm trying to huddle in this little silver blanket, hoping that maybe I'll be able to survive this, but I think it's going to consume my entire life. And he says, and then he switches the metaphor, and he says, all day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. Now, Lord, it feels like I'm drowning, and the water's coming up to my neck, and it's now getting into my mouth, and I'm closing my mouth, and now it's getting into my nose, and I can't breathe, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and I start to panic, and I'm filled with all of this sadness. This is that overwhelming sadness that we don't know what to do. And this tells us something. Scripture doesn't say it, but I think it's appropriate for me as a pastor to say it, that sometimes sadness is caused because of something going on chemically in your body. The church has not done a very good job of this. When sadness morphs, continues on, maybe it finds a seat and a hold in the heart, and maybe it continues on, and all of a sudden it turns into depression. And maybe it turns into thoughts of suicide. And I'm going to say this, going against years and years and years, thousands of years of teachings from the church, but sometimes I think what we need is the correct medication in order to get us back into balance. Now, don't hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying a pill cures everything. Please, don't. But I think the church has also been remiss of trying to somehow take a depressed person and just try to make them happy. No, sometimes things are terribly wrong in your body. And you need to get it checked out, and you need to find out what that is, and you need to be okay with this. Because I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but sadness is not a sin. If you are depressed, it's not because you have a weak faith. But we've done that. We've ostracized people. And I know for a fact, I have 100% guarantee that I know that sadness is not a sin, and that all of these things that the psalmist has talked about are not bad, because do you know that someone else went through exactly the same thing? He was rejected by his friends. His friend says, I'm going to stay close to you. I'm never going to leave you. Don't worry. Everyone else is going to run, but you know what? I'm going to stick close to you, man. I'm going to be yours. This is it. And then he was rejected. He was someone who experienced physical pain, way more than the pain that I experienced when people tried to make me laugh when my stomach was all cut up. No, he had nails in his hands. He had a crown of thorns on his head. He had a nail in his foot. He knew pain more than anything else. He also knew what it was like to be rejected. Jesus was rejected. Oh, Jesus was not just rejected. He was rejected by men, by the religious establishment, by his own disciples. He was rejected by his Father. The Father looked down and said, I can't see this. This is disgusting. You are just sin incarnate. And the Father turns his back on his only child. Does he know this? The pain of loss? Yeah. One of Jesus' best friends died. A guy by the name of Lazarus. And what did Jesus do? To the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Well, wait a second. You mean you can cry? Yeah, because sadness is not a sin. You mean I can feel loss and feel hurt and sit with that for a while and be okay with it? Yeah, because sadness is not a sin. You mean I can be rejected and feel like I'm ugly and don't belong anywhere? Yeah, because sadness is not a sin. You mean I can actually have depression and then go and get some medication that maybe this helped me because it's a chemical imbalance? Yeah, you know why? Because sadness is not a sin. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to be in pain. And when you come to church, there's going to be times that you're not going to feel it. You're not going to want to clap your hands, raise your hands. You're not going to want any of that because it's just no fun. Well, that's because maybe you're dealing with sadness. And please know, sadness is not a sin. Find the cause, you find the cure. And we know that Jesus has felt everything that we have felt as well. Let's pray. Father, I ask for forgiveness on behalf of the church that we have sometimes made sad people feel stupid. We've made sad people feel inferior in their faith. Lord, we've done it ourselves. We have tried to manufacture our own joy, even though we're just depressed all over the place. And Lord, we have done what was wrong. Instead of sitting with our sadness, instead of understanding our sadness, instead of knowing that sometimes that sadness is to help us grow in our faith, that sadness is there to bring us closer to you, to develop a dependence upon you, to know that you will never reject us. You will never, ever leave us. You may discipline us. You may sweep over us with your waves and your wrath, but ultimately it's for our good, and you love us, and I thank you for that. And I pray that you would now give us the strength to be sad and know that Jesus was also sad and that in him we ultimately do find joy. Because there's going to come a day when you're going to take us away from all of this. Even if we are sad people our entire lives, ultimately you're going to fill us with joy. Because pain comes in the night, but joy comes in the morning. We thank you because of Jesus our Savior. Amen. I would like to do something, if that's okay with you, another